In Durham, North Carolina. It is February 13th, 2005, and we're in my home in Durham, North Carolina. The interviewer is Geralyn Patterson, and this is part of the Spencer Grants Project on School Desegregation in the South and will be used as part of the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The tape number is 21305JP. Okay. Mr. Pointer.
Yes.
Can you tell me when you attended Hillside?
I attended Hillside. I started Hillside 1952.
Okay. So you graduated in
1956. Graduated in 1956, that's correct.
Okay. Tell me what you remember most about going to school there.
Well, going to Hillside was a fascinating experience and also a unique one. And the thing that I remember most was my days in the bricklaying shop. I had an instructor, his name was Mr. Tucker.
Well, tell me about him, because his name has come up, but nobody took his class. They just told me about him.
He was a very strict disciplinarian.
Okay.
He was an ex-Marine.
Oh.
He was very athletic. He was very muscular. Mm-hmm. He did, he ran track. He did it all at Hampton.
Okay.
And he conducted his shop as if we were at boot camp.
What does that mean? Because I haven't been in the military.
Well,
so I don't know.
The term that you had to have things right.
Okay.
And he didn't relate to us as children, per se. Mm-hmm. But he looked at us as being young men.
Okay.
And he, I guess at times, thought that he was back in boot camp for some of the language that he used. But we took no offense to it.
Okay.
And he would say some things that probably, if you say them today to a student, that some of them have you up for foul language,
okay.
This and that.
Okay.
But most of the guys in his class took it at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we admired and respected him. And the thing that I never will forget that he said prior to graduation is that your high school days are your best days yet.
Mm-hmm.
And he said there will be no other days like that.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back, I must say he was on mark.
Mm-hmm.
And that I remember, and those are good days. Even though he had the ups and downs, but basically, high school memories
mm-hmm.
are fond memories.
Were there other teachers that made a difference, or made an impact on you?
I might be somewhat, there was one, I'm sure you might hear his name quite often, that was what we call Proc Austin.
Mm, okay.
Now he played it by the rules. He did not allow him in the halls. Mm. If you have to be in the classroom, he expected you to be in the classroom. Mm. And he would stop you on a dime and say where you belong, and you would have to go or give some explanation.
Did you ever get in trouble?
You know, believe it or not, I never was in trouble.
I believe
that. Oh, you can? No, it's ironic. One story I must share with you.
Okay.
I tried to play hooky once in my life.
Okay.
And if I go back, just give you a brief background of mother. Now, she mm-hmm. probably finished the third grade.
Okay.
And she believed in education.
Mm-hmm.
And she would always tell us, you're not going to school without some books under your arm mm-hmm. with your lunch as you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, going back to the near trouble, once I decided to play hooky, I wanted to play hooky, and I told my mother I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
She said, okay, I will stay home with you until you get well.
That wasn't in your plan.
That was not in the plan. I was staying now. That killed it. 12 o'clock, I was well. She marched me over the hillside. We caught the bus. And she carried me to Mr. Austin's office, mm-hmm. who was the dean of students, and said, here he is. Mm-hmm. He was not feeling well, but he's okay now.
Miraculously, he's cured.
Yes, and that was the end. That was the only time that I ever tried to play hooky.
Mm-hmm.
I played hooky before.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I had a perfect attendance.
Hmm.
And I never was in the principal's office for any misgiving.
Okay. You started telling me about your family background. Can you tell me, because I'm still just really in the research process.
Sure.
What was it like to live in Durham when you grew up? Is it similar to what it is now?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. Durham is far, far different now place than where I grew up. I grew up in a section in North Durham, you call it East End.
East End, okay. Where is that now, exactly?
It's over in North Durham. It's right off of Dow Street. I lived on Lee Street.
Okay.
If you wanted to coordinate off, it would be between Dow Street and Gear.
Okay, all right.
Borders between Tucker.
Okay, all right, I know that area. Okay, so tell me more about how it's different.
It's different now. If you take people in my generation, of course, we all went to segregated schools.
Mm-hmm.
East End School, the elementary school,
mm-hmm.
was 2 blocks from my house.
Okay.
I could walk to school each morning mm-hmm. and return
the okay.
same way. And the thing that I recall, now my grandmother was there at all times.
Mm-hmm.
She would see us to school, at the end of the school day, this is no joke, she would be at the end of the playground.
Mm-hmm.
And she could look all the way up to Dow Street and watch me mm-hmm. return home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by some chance, if she was busy and could not be there,
mm-hmm.
literally there was 3 little old ladies in each house. I mean, they sat on the porch and they had their little snuff, and I don't know what twig that they use, I call it a sage brush, and they would have that in their mouth. And if you act, hey, well, I want to tell your mom on you, and
okay.
which was right, and if they chose to, they could whoop you.
Mm, okay.
And nothing was said.
Okay.
So we respected those individuals
mm.
as we proceeded along. And I'm going to say I had a good, I had to do in the evening what we call night's work.
Mm-hmm.
Had to chop wood. We had to bring in coal.
Okay.
And put it on the back porch before we could go out to play.
Okay.
And then we would change our school clothes. We had 3 sets of clothes. We had the church clothes,
school clothes,
and your play clothes.
That's all right. Okay.
And once you completed your night's work, then you could go play.
Okay.
And then you come back and you can do your homework.
Okay. And so after you went to East End Elementary, is that still there?
It's still there, but it's operative. The physical structure
uh-huh.
is still there.
Okay.
But I think the church has it.
Okay, it's in some other capacity.
Yes.
Where did y'all go to middle school?
I went to...
Oh, it wasn't called Quidditch. Middle school, though. Junior high.
Okay.
With it.
Yes.
And that's where the Operation Breakthrough?
That is correct. That's the building.
Okay. And it was segregated too?
Yes.
Okay.
Everything was segregated right up through, I guess, the early 60s, late 50s.
Okay, so when you went to Hillside, there was no... Wait, no. You went during 1956?
Yes.
School desegregation was in 1954.
That's when the Brown... That's when the Brown versus the Board of Education.
Right.
That's the time that the Supreme Court, I guess you know.
Made the decision. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that did not change anything for years, for some time to come.
So nothing changed?
Not for us. I mean, it might have taken place elsewhere,
okay.
but it was not until after I graduated, I think Jocelyn McKissick, what in 57, 58,
okay.
when she tried to integrate
Durham High.
But you have to go back on those dates, so I'm not quite
okay.
sure of that.
Okay.
Thing.
So there were no white teachers at Hillside when you were there?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay. Not even after the school desegregation stuff?
I don't recall. Now, once I graduated in 1956, the 758. I would imagine not until the 60s. I would venture out before the instructors. But you might want to verify that.
Do you remember people talking about like when the order came down, do you remember hearing a lot of discussion about it?
In my circle, we never discussed it. We knew it was there. Uh-huh. But no one, I don't recall any classmates saying, wow, you know, we want to go to Durham High, we go to Durham High. I mean, we'd go on Hillside.
Right.
And that's the way it was, but not certainly not in my conversation.
Okay. So do you think the school integration have any impact on your family? It didn't have any impact on the school.
No, school has impact on my daughters.
Okay. How so?
Now, they both went to, what was the middle school? They went to Jordan High School. And what was the
Shepherd?
Okay. They went to Shepherd.
Okay.
Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Shepherd Elementary and Lowe's Grove.
Lowe's Grove.
Which was white.
Okay.
During the time when I was coming up.
Okay. And so, how was that for them?
Fine. Okay. And my youngest daughter was on the cheering squad at Lowe's Grove. So
okay. So it didn't really impact you and your family until after you got married and had your own children?
That is correct.
Okay. And did your children go to Hillside?
No, they did not go, unfortunately.
Why do you say unfortunately?
I think Hillside has a rich tradition.
Okay.
To the fact that if you go by, quite a few athletes came out. Mm-hmm. We had some noted people. I'm sure someone had mentioned her in the bar, Shirley Caesar, to name a few. Wes Covington.
I haven't heard him. Okay.
Famous baseball player.
Okay.
And you could go right on with the list of people who came out of Hillside.
Okay. And so you think your daughters missed something by not going?
And they wanted to go. In retrospectively, they, as the guys, I wouldn't mind graduating from Hillside because of the history.
Mm-hmm. What else do you think makes Hillside so unique?
I guess the thing that made it unique in many ways, if you look at, it was a huge high school, a large high school.
Mm-hmm.
And when I graduated, in 1956, we had one of the largest graduation classes. Mm-hmm. There was about 180 of us.
Mm-hmm, that's a large class.
Yeah. We had what I would say one of the top band director. We called him Shorty Hall.
Shorty Hall. Fillmore Hall.
Yeah, Fillmore Hall was the, I mean, second to none.
Mm-hmm.
He was great.
Were you in the band?
I wanted to get joined the band early on, but I could not afford the instrument at the time, so I didn't try to put the pressure on my mother for that.
But you still knew how great Mr.
Oh yeah, I mean you could not because I love music.
Okay,
there was one Miss Clarendon, I think that was her name, Clarendon.
Okay.
Choir director. Mm-hmm. She was great.
Okay.
Hillside Choir. You're not sure if you talk to anyone Hillside, you heard of Mr. John Gaddis. Then you ain't there no
G
way.
Swing School.
Yes. Tops. I mean, he could not. he was good.
I talked to Carolyn Thornton.
Yeah.
And she told me about Mr. G Swing School. Okay. She said she was Miss Brown.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And who else was noted? Samantha. And then, of course, they had a good football team under Coach Riddick and the coach later, Coach Higgins.
Mm, okay.
And Coach Blunt.
Mm, heard about him.
Yes, noted. See, I think basically, you know, when you look at the extracurricular activities, it was tops. I don't think any school could rival Hillside at that time.
Who did y'all play?
Oh, you heard John Baker?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I guess he went to Lincoln High School.
Oh, okay.
The great rivalry. Okay. There would be a fight every Friday.
Hillside versus Lincoln.
Yeah, we would come to the Second Ward. I think it was down in Charlotte.
Okay.
and E. E. Smith of Fayetteville.
Okay.
Great rivalry. And Winston Salem.
Okay. So basically, y'all play other segregated schools. Other segregated wildlife schools. Yes. Okay. Do you feel like the teachers sent you any special messages when you were a student there? Do you remember hearing them say the same thing over and over again? Or things they didn't even say that made you feel a certain way while you were there?
Now, this is on the downside of my experience with Hillside. And I guess the only one of the persons that I can recall most vividly, as I mentioned before, was the Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay? Number one, as they're going back, I was mm-hmm. born in North Durham,
mm-hmm.
single parent,
mm-hmm.
Dirt Street.
Mm-hmm.
No one had finished above third grade.
Right.
And I was the first to in the family to enter high school.
Mm-hmm.
When I discovered, unless you were a star athlete,
mm-hmm.
which I was not.
Okay.
But I was not a star athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you came from a well-to-do family.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the well-to-do family during that time was the light skin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I got the impression for myself and some mm-hmm. others, I can't speak for other folks,
mm-hmm.
is that teachers did not treat us on the same plane.
Mm-hmm. There was favoritism.
There was very, very much favoritism.
Okay.
Students who were born in that square around Central
mm-hmm.
and Hillside
okay.
favorite.
Because mm-hmm.
most of their parents either taught school or bankers or lawyers, something like that.
Okay.
But ones coming from my section of town mm-hmm. was not treated as well.
Okay.
So I can't say no other teacher stands out
mm-hmm.
as Mr. Tucker mm-hmm. for me.
Okay. Because you feel like he did what?
It made no difference with him.
Okay.
You know, each person was judged according to your ability to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you performed, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if you did not have money, but if you were smart,
mm-hmm.
then people gravitated to it.
Okay. So that must have been painful, though.
It was painful, but you learn to, to move on.
Right.
And spend too much time drug on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I got older, of course, I joined the Naval Reserve in my mm-hmm. junior year. And I felt very good about that.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the highlights of the Naval Reserve. And a bunch of us joined. But there was a camaraderie there, and then you had some of the guys returning back from the Korean War. So you had something, militarily in common with them. And I guess the thing that really made me feel good is that I was able to receive a check each quarter from the Naval Reserve.
Ah.
It wasn't a big check, but it was enough where I could have money to go to movies, mm-hmm. Buy lunch, what have you. So that was a big plus.
Okay. So then, because some other people have brought up the whole favoritism.
Yes.
Showing favoritism to people. What I want to know is, even though that was there, how is it that you still seem to have such fond and good feelings about the place?
It's with my shop experience.
Okay.
With Mr. Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of being in the Naval Reserve. Because once I got out of the first 2 years, if you break them down. Well, before I went into vocational,
mm-hmm.
then those were the rough years.
Okay.
But my two last years, which junior and senior year,
mm-hmm.
were the years I spent in vocational.
Okay.
So which
right.
was super,
okay.
calm,
set. Okay.
Okay.
So it kind of outshines the rest of
oh,
the
yeah.
stuff. Okay. Okay. Plus you had your check.
Yeah, I had a check. I mean, that was 29. And I've always worked. I worked at the high school. But to get a check, you know, a government check, with my name on, I had to go down to the bank, take the young ladies to the movies, buy lunches, go down to Green Candle.
Oh, I heard about the Green Candle. Green Candle was the place to go, right?
Yes. Super food. So I could splurge for another 3 months.
Do you think there's special things that schools like Hillside did for black students that schools don't do anymore?
I think one thing, even with the stressing of scholarship, I think they did demand that you knew what you were supposed to know.
Mm. Okay.
And there was very little compromising on that.
Mm.
And I must say if I'm going to be fair, is that you have a sense of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows a sense of pride that I don't see that much now.
Mm-hmm.
And the steel of belonging. And then once you have a great love for Hillside, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever the experience was,
mm-hmm.
but people just felt good.
How do you think they did that? Because a lot of people have said that they have this sense of pride, they instilled a sense of pride and belonging and sense of self-worth. How did they actually do that?
Well, first of all, I guess with dress.
Okay.
I mean, you had to dress a certain mm-hmm. way. Your mannerism, they expected you to respect the young ladies,
mm-hmm.
respect the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And of course your teachers.
Okay.
And also if you're going to, and I guess part of that would go back to most of our background, because mm-hmm. my grandmother always said if you want to get somewhere,
mm-hmm.
then you got to be smart, you got to show that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you're coming, whether you academically was able or not,
right.
It was instilled.
Mm-hmm.
That you do your best, mm-hmm. and that you are not going to succeed in a white world,
mm-hmm.
that's how they put it,
mm-hmm.
if you didn't have the education,
mm-hmm.
and that you have to be twice as good.
Okay.
So those are the premise.
That you just kept hearing over and over again.
That you had written on that you would operate from.
Do you think those are some of the things you thought that were kind of lost? That schools like Hillside aren't able to do?
I think it's lost now, again, by not having any children and all,
right.
is that I don't hear much of that same. Okay, so if you go back to dress,
mm-hmm.
now again, you could say generational or what have
mm-hmm.
you, but I don't see the dress.
Mm-hmm.
Being encouraged, proper dress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at times if you're going out, when we went out to a play, then we had to put on a tie.
Mm-hmm.
If we didn't have a jacket, then you had a long sleeve shirt,
mm-hmm.
you know, your tie. And I don't see that. And then, of course, the language,
mm-hmm.
I don't see that being reinforced.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what they're saying in terms of the kids having to, or the students, if they want to move forward to really dig, I'm not sure mm-hmm. whether that's going on.
Okay. So, the opportunities that you all had at Hillside?
I think the opportunities we had, we took advantage
mm-hmm.
of everything that was open to us.
Okay.
Those are students who felt that they was not college
mm-hmm.
material.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, back up. One thing we knew for sure
mm-hmm.
when we was coming up, if we graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
you was going to do two things.
Okay.
You was going to college
mm-hmm.
or you going to military. That was it.
Okay.
There was
okay.
no...
Okay.
Now, if you did not go to college because of grades, we expect to go to the military. Mm.
Ladies too?
No, not the ladies.
Okay. All right, just the guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Just the guys. Now, if you did not qualify, that was another story.
Okay.
But if you take 75% maybe not that high, say 65% of the fellows graduating from mm-hmm. high school during that time
mm-hmm.
have some military experience.
Okay. Okay.
And that was a given.
Okay.
That she did.
Okay.
And if you chose to go to the military, then that was a 20-year, that was a career.
Okay.
A 20-year.
Okay. So there was an expectation that you were going to do one or
you're going to do something.
You're going to do something. You're going to do something.
You're right. Yeah, you're going to do something, man. You're going to, you're getting out of here.
Right.
You're going to work. And if you didn't qualify either one, you're going to find a job.
Right. Okay.
And during that time, the tobacco mm-hmm. factories employed a lot of guys who did not go to school.
Okay.
And they made a career out of that.
Could you make a decent living at the tobacco
industry? Oh, my land, that was tops. If you, during the time, if you had a job at the factory, your salary about topped that of a teacher.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You didn't have a status.
Okay.
But you had the money.
Okay.
And those, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are top jobs.
Okay.
Top jobs.
So, not the status, but you had the money.
You had the money. And I mean, you know, so people, the guys, they got along well.
I bet.
Yes, they did.
So, do you think there, those are kind of some of the things that we lost through kind of school integration, DSED? Do you think that there are things that, did you see gains? I know you talked about your daughter's experiences.
Not been gains. They've always been gains. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people talk about gains. Mm-hmm. There were gains,
mm-hmm.
Even when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We had sectional territory.
Okay.
There was a, what we call it, bottom, mm-hmm. which is off down below present day grid school.
Okay.
And unless you had very good reason for being in the bottom, you didn't want to go down there.
Why? What was happening in the bottom?
Well, it was always, for the most part, centered around you dating someone.
Oh, okay.
In the bottom, and vice versa, the West End.
Okay.
So there was that. You're not coming over here dating our girl.
Oh, gotcha. Territory.
Yeah, territory.
Okay, all right.
And if you know the underpass at Roxborough, not Pettigrew, there used to be the vine line for North Durham.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And Hayti.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
So okay. Everything was territorial.
Okay, so did the bottom change then?
Eventually, okay. With the sports,
okay.
I think people pretty much. Yeah, well, so we laugh now sometimes, get the kind of guys who've been on the bottom, so things worked out.
Okay, so then things weren't as sectioned off as
it was sectioned off, but you found ways to make allies and get around
it. What do you, let's see, do you have any thoughts on how schools can better educate Black students now?
Personally, in looking back, and this is not to say, well, if you want to be, what is political, proper, or the same with culturalism, mm-hmm. which I believe in multiculturalism,
mm-hmm.
I would say pound for pound in terms of the quality mental stability and mannerism. I think the schools of our day surpass those of today. And to make a long story short, I don't know whether desegregation was an ally or an enemy.
Mm. Why you say that?
I feel we lost a lot. We might have gained, but I don't know what we gained about stripped the losses. First of all, I think we lost the respect for teacher. We lost respect for self, in the sense that teachers did not have that sense of connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then everyone knew the teachers were in school.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew each child. So now that's, you know, the teacher might live 50 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the teachers were expected to attend services.
Oh, church services?
Yes.
Oh.
In certain areas.
Okay.
Excuse me, rural areas, if you taught, you have to go to church at least once a month.
Oh, okay.
So that's in a general, mm-hmm. general sense, mm-hmm. you know, try to answer your question
right.
in terms of the difference. So I think if you look at mm-hmm. most of the black schools in the area, whether it's Hillside or others, you would find basically the same ingredient.
Okay. So you think we lost a sense of
connection? You lost connection. It is, in my opinion, mm-hmm. in terms of the young black men, is whether the teachers were somewhat fearful of them, especially your white female teachers.
Mm.
A black youngster come in, he might raise his voice, or whether he's threatening to her or not, then off to the principal office, and next thing you know, he's out on the street, etc. So that's my perception.
Because they don't know, they don't know.
They don't know the youngster, mm-hmm. out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Then sometimes we can, people can overreact.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, then this youngster's labeled that he's out.
Mm-hmm.
And during the time when I was going to make that same comparison, if a youngster got out of hand, say, oh, no, well, then the principal would take him in the corner. You know, talk with him. This ain't my Hillside. And of course, all schools have had, not to say that we did not have a disciplinary problem, mm-hmm. we did.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they were handled differently.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Okay, so this is really my last question.
That's okay.
What do you think is important for us to, for future generations, to get from the legacy of Hillside?
I guess the legacy would be to go back, study some of the people who have graduated from the school,
mm-hmm.
and try to analyze why they were so successful, what motivated them to push on in spite mm-hmm. of all odds, and what was that internal drive
mm-hmm.
that kept us going. And I think it would be, you would find the notion to succeed,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be respected and to be a credit to yourself and the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And to find some sense of pride and self-worth. I think that is a legacy as I see it, in terms of, I'm willing to ask a question, but it just reaps back into the soul of the school, and I think that's what was advocated.
The soul of the school.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell me? That I might not have asked you, but I need to know. People say, Gerald Twan, I know you're talking to people about what it was like to go to Hillside. Do I have the whole, do I have enough?
I think basically you have enough. If this is a school, and this is just a recap, mm-hmm. In the sense that, and sometimes I look back now, and even in spite of everything, and you might say, gosh, how did y'all survive that? My fondest memories
mm-hmm.
are the time that I went to Hillside. you know, the prom years, the graduation, you know, stepping out on your own. And just looking back, it was just a wonderful experience.
Okay, I'm gonna end it here then.
Okay.